Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight I want to talk about a passage of Scripture that is really very familiar. And I think sometimes when passages of Scripture are familiar, we have a tendency to, we quote them and they're meaningful to us in a time of crises, but maybe we don't understand them because we get just one word or one verse out of it and we don't understand the context of the passage. But I want to talk to you tonight about seeking the Lord, and I want to do that from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is just one of the best books in the Old Testament. I mean, such a powerful, powerful prophetic book. And in the center, there are sections to the book of Isaiah. In the center, of part of the Isaiah that we quote a lot, especially at Easter, is Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant. And we talk about, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And what Isaiah is doing is he's saying, okay, here's what God did for his people. And then you get to chapter 54, and in chapter 54, he prophesies that blessings are going to come to the land of Judah and Israel because of what he did. In fact, every nation of people is going to look to God. And then you get to chapter 55, and he begins to tell us what that's going to be like, that God extends an invitation to all the nations, to all people. And God's desire is to bless people, and God's desire is to work in people's life, and God's desire is to do good to people. And so God calls people to come to him and to look to him, and he gives an invitation, and his invitation is to receive his grace and to receive his help. And how do you do that? How does a person receive the favor of God in their life, the grace of God in their life? How do you and I tap into the power of God to work in our life? And the prophet tells us that what we need to do is to seek the Lord. So let's read it here in chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's heart is that you and I would seek him, that you and I would look to him. Psalm 105 puts it this way. It says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. God wants us to constantly be looking to him. So that brings up two questions. The first one is, what does it mean to seek the Lord? When we're talking about seeking the Lord, what are we talking about? That word, darash, in the Hebrews, used 165 times in the Old Testament, and it means to search for. You know, have you ever lost your keys, and like you need your keys, and you're like searching for your keys, and you are, I mean, You're gonna start in all the simple places, and then you start looking, you know, on the sofa, and you look down on the cushions. Pretty soon you got the cushions off, and then you're like, you're trying to retrace your steps. You're trying to think, where in the world did I put that? I mean, do you pray like that? That's what it means to seek the Lord, to have this pursuit, like, I'm going to look. I mean, when you need your car keys, I promise you, you are going to look until you find them. You know they're somewhere in that house. You know they're somewhere in the. You know you set them down. You know you had them there because the car is sitting in the driveway. So you know the car got there. Somehow there were keys that got you there. So those keys are somewhere. And you are not going to stop looking until you find your keys. That's what it means to seek the Lord. I'm not going to stop looking until I find him. I'm not going to stop searching for him until I find him. I'm not going to stop pursuing him. That's another, to pursue. I'm not going to stop pursuing him until I get what I need from him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So if we're going to seek the Lord, the first thing we have to do is to call on him. We've got to call out and cry out. So seeking God means calling on God. God, help me. And the word there is kara in the Hebrew, and it's the idea of you know, crying out, yelling out to somebody. So you so want it, you so need it, that you are crying out to God for what only he can do. So you just, it's all your heart saying, God, I've got to have you. I've got to have your help. You're seeking him. It also means forsaking our wicked ways and thoughts, the things that are displeasing to him. Look at him, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. In order to seek God, you have to, let me put it this way. In order to seek God with positive outcome, in other words, receiving from God, you have to be willing to forsake the things you know are displeasing to him. You have to be willing to give up the things that you know offend him. You can't be seeking God and planning on or participating in things you know aren't right. This is why prayer, daily prayer, is such a good thing. Because you know you can't be praying if you got a lot of stuff going on. You know you can't be praying and get anywhere if you're not right with your mate, if you've got stuff going on emotionally with people around you, if you've got things happening in your heart, if you're entertaining things in your thought life that aren't right, you can't seek God. I mean, it'd be like a man who leaves his wife, moves in with another woman, then calls his wife and seeks his wife. And her first question, if she's wise, is going to be, have you forsaken that woman? And if he said no, then she'd be right in saying, then you're not really seeking me and your call doesn't mean anything. You will seek me and you'll find me when you forsake her and all others for me alone, like you vowed you would do on your wedding day. It's the same when we walk with God. Then we'd say, listen, I want you, I want your presence, I want to walk with you, I want to be right with you, I want to be to the best of my ability, I want to be in a place where I'm taking care of following you with all of my heart and with not only a passion for you, but a purity in my life to the best of my ability. So we're willing to forsake sin. I mean, after all, Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Number three, seeking God means looking to him for guidance rather than relying on our own human understanding. I mean, Isaiah 30, and this is so interesting. Woe to obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. And this is a prophecy that's given to King Hezekiah, who is a righteous man. So this is to a king who's not seeking the Lord, who's creating plans, who's being smart, who's being clever, who's trying to solve his problems in his own wisdom and his own power. That gets children of God in trouble all the time. When somehow we think we can figure it out, we can plan it out, we can make it happen, not stopping to seek God's counsel, only to have it blow up and have the problem not only not solved, but be way worse. Seeking God means looking to God for guidance. Now, let me give you this quote. I think this is so great. This is George Mueller, who back in the 1800s, he fed 50,000 orphans in his lifetime and never asked anybody for any money. And miracle after miracle happened of God's provision. He writes this on prayer. I never remember in all my Christian course a period, now 69 years and 4 months, that I ever sincerely and patiently sought to know the will of God by the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the instrumentality of the Word of God, but have always been directed rightly. But if honesty of heart and uprightness before God were lacking, or if I did not patiently wait upon God for instruction, or if I preferred the counsel of my fellow men to the declarations of the Word of the living God, I made great mistakes. In other words, if his heart was right, and he put God first, and he waited on the Lord, and he allowed the Holy Spirit to work through the Word of God and to work in his heart, he always received the thing he was seeking God for. He always received answers from the Lord, direction from the Lord. But if he veered off the course and began to do a polling, so to speak, of other people, or relying on his own wisdom, things didn't go well. Now, why should we seek the Lord? Let me give you four things. First, we should seek God because he is a God of compassion. Now, here's the good news. When you look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7, let him return to the Lord that he might have compassion on him. In other words, God wants us to seek him while he may be found because God wants to do good things in your life. God cares about you. God wants to work in your life. Isaiah 30 and verse 18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. In other words, God is looking for an opportunity. God is watching and he's saying, boy, I just can't wait till I can show Connor Parsley how awesome I am in his life. But that's true of every person in this room. And he gets excited. He rises to show you compassion. He kind of gets up and is like, all right, here's my chance. Forget the idea that God is like indifferent, that you got to kind of try to get his attention, that God is not interested. God wants, he loves to show his compassion. We should seek God because he pardons abundantly. Because he loves to forgive. Listen to this. Let him return to the Lord that he might have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God wants people with unrighteousness in their life or wicked ways to come to him. He wants people who are trapped in sin to come to him. You know, here's what happens. And musicians, you can begin to play. Here's what happens. There's some of you tonight, and you know that you're not right with God. You know that. And you've come for any number of reasons. One, you may really have come to say, you know what, I really need God's help, but you know you're not right with God. And so that creates this huge conflict of how you're going to resolve that. There's some, honestly, and you come because you're trying to keep a facade that everything's good with God, but it's really not because you got stuff going on. Nobody knows. And, you know, so that's playing there. And in some of those cases, what happens is you really need the Lord to help you, but now, see, you're conflicted because you've allowed stuff to go on. And now you're like, well, how can I approach God? Because why is God going to listen to me? And what happens is when you're not right with God, you begin to think about God like you think about people. So you transpose your own rationalities onto him, and so you start viewing God treating you like you would treat you, or you start viewing God as treating, you know, I mean, and it's really messed up. Or you do what sin ultimately does, is it pushes people away from God, because remember, like in the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, they've sinned, and they're hiding from God because they're afraid of God. They're afraid that God is mad at them. God doesn't want anything to do with them. I mean, all those things, it just messes people up. And what God wants to do is God wants to work in your life. And it begins for some, if you're going to seek God, it's going to begin by you getting it right with God. And you taking care of those things in your life that you know, as even as I'm talking right now in the presence of the Lord, you know what's going on. You know what's not right. And rather than rather than wondering what God's going to do, how God's going to, just listen, just come and get it right with God. Confess your sin to Him, repent of your sinfulness, and seek God. Because what God wants to do, He wants to abundantly pardon. Not, I mean, do you get that? Abundantly pardon. Micah 7:18 says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy." You know what? You start to come to God, and God's like, "Oh, that is so awesome." You know what? You know what mercy is? Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Because like what you're thinking is, well, if I did this, then really what I deserve is, and you know what, you're right. In fact, you deserve even worse than what you think you deserve. But God, when you turn to Him, God says, I want to show them mercy beyond what they could imagine. Come back to Him. Seek Him. Look to Him. We should seek God third because we need to know His plan. You know what we need is we need the wisdom of the Lord. You know, one of the first things I pray for myself daily is, Lord, give me a listening heart. Give me a listening heart. Because I've learned this through the years. God speaks to me in places. He can speak to me in my prayer time, and He does. But He wants to speak to me through situations. He wants to speak to me in different places, in different times. And if I don't have a listening heart, and I don't have a heart that says, God, I need to hear from You, and I want to hear from You, make my heart the kind of heart that is listening to You, then I'm going to miss out, because God wants to show us His ways. So look at it in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are, higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Most often people say, well, you know, they look at that verse and say, yeah, you know, the deal is God's ways are just so far beyond our ways, and we can't figure them out. Or they, you know, well, God, a lot of what God does just doesn't make sense, like God's ways are irrational. And it's not saying that either. What it's saying is, when you look at the verse, the context of the verse, look at this in verses 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So the wicked has a way and the unrighteous has certain thoughts. Now look at the next verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Let the wicked forsake his ways and his thoughts, because God's thoughts and ways are not wicked or unrighteous. I mean, the difference between a sinful human being's thoughts and ways and God's, it's like the difference between the highest heaven and the earth. And that's why we need to seek God, because there's a huge expanse between and distance between the way He does things and the way our sinful human nature would operate. There's a huge difference between the way He thinks about things and the way we would think about things. Our mind is as different from His mind as heaven is from earth. That's what it's saying. But if you and I will seek Him, He'll show us His way. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Though His ways are so far above us, if we'll ask, He'll show us His ways. And then finally, we should seek God because He's near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Here's what that saying implied in that verse is. It's a window of opportunity right now. And I really felt, you know, as I was studying this and thinking about it, tonight's a window of opportunity. There's just windows of opportunity. There's just times when God is just doing something. It's not that God isn't doing something all the time, but there's times when God is doing something. Just, it's a window of opportunity. And you don't know when it'll shut, but it's open for now. And even relative to services, there's just services where God is just doing something unique in that service. If you're away from God, tonight's a window of opportunity to turn back to God. If you need help tonight from the Lord, divine help, tonight is a window of opportunity. If you need wisdom tonight from the Lord, some of you are, you're facing decisions. Tonight's a window of opportunity from the Lord. I believe God wants to speak to people's hearts. I think God wants to put you in touch with His thinking on your situation. Tonight, I think, is a window of opportunity if you need a job. I know we're in a really good economy, but I just felt like as I was writing this, there's some people here that need a job, need a different job, need something to happen, and it's a window of opportunity. And right now is a chance to seek Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Cry out to Him.